You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. Tom Burgoyne, along with my pal John Brazier. And John, you know what's cool about this podcast is we get to see old friends. And an old friend just walked into our studio.
And before we bring him on, let me just say, this is my 28th year with the Phillies. And of all the players that have gone through, how many players have gone through in the 28 years I've been here? Many. And there's probably not one person that brings a smile to my face like our man right here, Wayne Gomes, because I don't know why, but he makes me laugh. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm glad I make you smile.
You do make me smile, right?
You're so hard it makes smile.
Well, you know.
You usually have a frown on your face when I see you.
Wayne came into my office yesterday, and you know, he asked, what do I get for a parting gift for doing the podcast? And I said, well, it's funny, because Jamie Foxx has a sunglass company, and he was here, remember, 2 years ago, right? And I had a pair of sunglasses that on my head looks like a giant bug or an alien, right? Because the lenses are huge. But Wayne...
You're going to give them to Wayne?
I gave them to Wayne, and Wayne liked them, right? Yeah,
the answer is I could hand me down. In a parking spot.
But you liked them. You even told your wife that you have Jamie Foxx's glasses.
Now, technically,
they're not Jamie Foxx's glasses.
Well, it makes them so much of a better story.
Exactly right. See, that's why I like Wayne. Right, he goes by the fact
that was pretty cool. Wayne meeting Jamie Foxx.
I bet.
Yeah,
I bet.
It really was.
He
couldn't have
I'm a
been.
Big fan.
Yeah,
right,
he couldn't have been cooler too. Just
good.
Really down to earth.
That's good to know. That's
and
good
I,
to know.
I got a chance to tell him too. I just took him aside. And said, Jamie,
Wayne's the best guy I know.
Was that? Wayne's the best guy I know. You got to know Wayne. No, but you know what I told him? I said, your portrayal of Ray Charles was like one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. I just thought he was spectacular.
Well, he's a musician too. So
it was very realistic.
Did that role pretty easily.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was awesome. So how you doing, man? It's great to see you.
I'm great, man. Great. Life is great.
Yeah, life is great. Your son's working here, right?
My son is interning here. Yes. Yes, he is. And I'm extremely proud of him. I watch him and I just he's maturing and he's on track. He's doing well in school. He's just a good kid. He does things the right way, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep him away from the Fanatic and the Director of Fun and Games if he wants to progress through this organization?
I am going to keep him close to the Fanatic. If he has that much success, he's going to do all right.
He's going to move right through the year. Well, it's kind of full circle. Now he's here, and
full circle, and it's funny, you know, and he says, you know, I don't want to tell anybody you're my father. I want to feel like I got to hear my own. And I was like, okay, all right, I get that. I said, but I got some pretty good friends around here that could probably help you out, you know. When he nearly needs something, I'm like, hey, my dad's. was conveniently using that.
You know, when we have guests on, when we like talking a little about your history, certain years with the Phillies. But you know what I remember? So you were drafted in 1993.
Correct.
Okay, 1993. And you were and I have a question here, but you were drafted basically kind of as a closer, which, you know and I don't know if that's how it was explained to you when you were drafted, but certainly in the media and up here in Philadelphia.
Right,
and and it was like, wow. And, of course, we're in the middle of 93. Mitch Williams, you know, is lighting it up. But then he had a tough ending to that year, as you know. And then, of course, then it's, well, what are we going to do with Mitch? And then we brought in Doug Jones. But I just remember the whole time, it's like, oh, no, but we're good because we drafted this closer, you know, and he's going to be our guy.
And what happened from there?
you were there. But here's my question. Was it hard? Because you don't hear that too often. Like a guy is drafted and all of a sudden, like given the closer's role, you know, first year in minor league baseball. Was it hard? Is that beneficial to kind of have that? Or, you know,
I never looked at it like that. I just looked at those outs as being another three outs. And I was at the last one of the ball game. I think if you put that closer stigma on you, then it seemed like more pressure. You know, look, just go throw strikes and get guys out. And after you do that, the game's over. So that's making it a lot more simpler.
But your career through the minor leagues, I mean, you pretty much were the
Correct.
Closer. Which
Correct.
Is that unusual? Isn't that unusual?
I think I would say it's fairly normal now. I guess I don't know. You know,
I always feel like you kind of grow into it, or you find somebody that that has that mentality.
Yeah.
It's a mentality, obviously.
It is a mentality. You know, because it's a lot of pressure, and you know, you could do the job right 10 times in a row, and then you have a bad week, and you've lost your job, and everybody hates you. But it is what it is. It comes with the territory, and I guess that's why closers are probably making more money than the rest of the bullpen. So yeah.
Well, you had to have that mentality because your degree at Old Dominion University was in recreation and leisure studies. Well,
thank you for bringing that up.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking if you're going to become the director of fun and games, that should have been my major, right? Of recreation leisure studies. That's the next progression is director of fun and games.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. It is. I'm on the fast track.
And I certainly cannot make fun of anybody for their major because my major was religious studies and a history minor. So. Go figure that one.
Yeah. Probably has some classes together.
Big guy was looking after me right there.
Right. What is leisure studies? You learn how to...
Plan a party, my wife said. Man, you can plan a party.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
She'll love that.
Were there good parties at Old Dominion? Was that a party school?
No, it was not a party school. I'm not directly at parties. That's just her way of making fun of what I do. But I've actually... what I learned in college has kind of paid off for me. When I have to, I have own a baseball academy, and when I have to plan programs, it all comes together. When I have to, do a variety of things, it all seems to come together for me. And it's pretty natural, And I work with kids, and then I kind of parlayed that into working with kids in the mental health field. Yeah. So it's kind of all, kind of ran together. And each business venture I go into, it kind of has. I've taken something from the previous situation.
Now, you're also, right now, you're involved in, we're going to discuss this at a later time, but we might as well get right into it now. You told me yesterday that you're involved in creating a PAL league down in the Hampton area.
I am. It's just getting off the ground. I'm in the processes of going to conferences and really early on stages. But I do have those aspirations of creating a police athletic league and kind of reuniting our community with the police, which probably in this climate right now, more communities probably need to do. So we have a new police chief. He just took the job within the last 30 days. He's all on board. I actually meet with him next Monday morning at 9 o'clock in his office, along with the city manager and a couple city councilmen. So it's really political, but political side of it is really on my side. The community I live in is kind of smaller, I guess, compared to this market, and I am really tight with the vast majority of them. And I've done a lot of good things in my community, so. So it's kind of
yeah. Now we've been doing a PAL game here for years, where we work with the police athletic league, and then they bring down all the media, and the media. You remember that as a player?
Yeah, I was part of it when I was a player.
Right, because the media would come down, and it would be your opportunity to watch from the bench and laugh at all the people that are writing mean things about you. Right,
right. They wrote bad things about me.
No, they didn't write things about
you. Not
me. Not Philadelphia.
All right, but let's go right in, if you don't mind, Tom. Let's go into. As Wayne knows, there's so many great stories with you. I mean, literally, there are a lot of them I can't tell on this podcast. But
you got to tell them about the time I was the All-Star MVP in Major League All-Star. You don't remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
You don't.
Well, Something tells me all these stories are not going to have anything to do with baseball, Wayne.
Well, this does have something to do with baseball because when he was with the Reading Phillies, what would happen is this, Wayne was starting. Right, because oftentimes he wasn't closer. He was starting at that time, and so after you started, right, the next game you would chart the pitches. You'd go three or four rows behind home plate, and you chart the pitches, and you really got to concentrate. You got to mark down the balls and strikes. You got someone probably overlooking you, and you got to make sure that you're going to make sure you got all the details right. Well, Wayne, why don't you tell us what happened? This happened to be Terry Francona's favorite story about Wayne Gomes. Tell the story, and I know the story, so don't try to deviate from it.
All right.
But what happened when you were charting the game?
Well, the night before, I had threw a no-hitter. It was actually a 12-inning game. I threw 64 pitches and complete game no-hitter.
Is that true?
No.
I was going to say,
12-inning game, 64 pitches?
Wait, it was zero hits, six walks, and six balks? Was that what it was?
No. That's kind of my... made up version of the story. All right, so like you said, the night before I had started, and I was in the stands this night, and little caveat to the story is our minor league coordinator was about two rows behind us. His name was Don Blasingame. We used to call him Blazer. Blazer would pop into town once, or I guess, maybe once a homestand or something to see the minor league prospects and so forth. And believe it or not, I was one of the prospects. And so the night before I had a rough outing, to recall my line was 4 2/3 innings, 6 walks, 6 balks, and 6 strikeouts.
Now, was that a picky umpire, or was it really 6 balks?
And it's probably closer to 11 or 12 balks.
So a generous umpire.
He was probably generous. Something wasn't registering that I need to stop.
All right.
You know. So I had a line that was you probably just will never forget. So during the game, you know, they really wanted us to not to sign autographs during the game.
You got to concentrate.
You concentrate, you know, and you sign one, and 10 other people come down there, and they're trying to keep fans out of that part of the stadium, you know, because it was like front row VIP or whatever access. So don't come down here and ask for an autograph. So the lady came down and asked for an autograph. And I was fairly polite. I'm usually pretty good with people, and, you know, being and saying, nah, sorry, or I can't do it right now. And I said, no, ma'am, I have to wait after the game or between innings. And so she walked away, and I guess she started thinking about how she could be turned away from autograph by somebody who sucked like I did.
So she
made it pretty clear, like, you know, I can't believe that you walked had six walks last night.
She's yelling this out, Tom.
Can you believe
she's yelling this out to the
balks,
crowd.
Six strikeouts, and you can't give me an autograph. And she's turned her back and turned around, making a big scene, yelling, and, you know, big scene. And now at the time I'm kind of trying to make this whole thing go away. I'm not really paying her mind. And she has a ball in her hand, and she swings on me and hits me in the head with the baseball and, you know, kind of punches me in the back of the head.
Wow. Can you believe that?
Holy smokes.
So, yeah.
So what happened next?
Well, that's the end of the story, right?
You took her out? No, that's not what happened. Yeah. What happened next, Wayne?
I think that's when I just walked away and said, God bless you.
Oh, no, you did.
No, that's not how the story
went. That's not the story, no.
Well, all right. Well, the way the story goes is when I come – kind of to my senses, and not, if she knocked me out, I can take a punch. You know, especially but when I turn around and realize what was happening, the first person I saw was Redding's mascot. I never thought I had to tell the story again, but
which is the Rubbish Ranger.
Which is the Rubbish Ranger.
Now, can I explain what the Rubbish Ranger is? They get a Boy Scout that's dressed in his Boy Scout,
did
I believe.
Did you Google the Rubbish Ranger over the last 48
not.
Hours?
Boy Scout outfit, and he's got like a Lone Ranger mask on, and he picks up trash with his deputy, which is Deputy Debris, right, who's a Cub Scout wearing a Lone Ranger mask, and so they pick up trash.
You got to love Reddit.
And the Rubbish Ranger and Deputy Debris happen to be standing right when Wayne wheeled around trying to see who just smacked him on the head, and who does he see? The Rubbish Ranger and the Deputy Debris with a guilty look on their face.
And I kind of went after, you know, Rubbish Ranger and his little sidekick, his Batman and Robin.
You took them both on.
And I tried to take them both on, right? So while I'm going after, you know, the Rubbish Ranger, it makes it funny with the name. You know, maybe I should stop saying it, but I have to tell the story. When I see the Rubbish Ranger and Deputy Debris, you know, Blasingame is like, hey, man, calm down. And security is like, hey, man, calm down. I'm really trying to give it to them guys. You know, I'm trying to get after him. You just punched me in the back.
Lady just snuck away?
Yeah. I never saw that lady again.
Really?
Ever. I don't know if she ever came back to the ballpark. I wouldn't be able to face her. I wouldn't even be able to figure out who she was. I mean,
but did you think that the Rubbish Ranger was the one who hit you?
I thought the Rubbish Ranger hit me. Yeah. Well, when I turned around, it was the first person I saw. You know, if you get hit in the back of the head, you turn around, like, you know, the first person
she
you
must
see.
Have been quick. Right?
She must have been, you know, yeah. And he had, you know, Rubbish Ranger and Deputy Dupree had that mask on,
right.
So they
couldn't
see the sky. So I was like, oh, these guys did—they're just trying to show their faces.
and then Ed Wade got a phone call, right? Who's our general manager? And the phone call, or I guess it was a phone call or text, that said, "By the way, your first round draft pick just got in a brawl in the middle of the game with the Rubbish Ranger and Deputy Dupree."
Yeah, and did you have to answer Chuck Domino at the time? Was he up there?
Chuck Domino was there, you know, I took no blame or fault for any of this. I did anything wrong, so no, I didn't have to answer Chuck because, you know, I'm sure he saw it. And, you know, everybody saw it. The Redding had 8,000 fans there that night, You know, so, but yeah, I didn't answer to Chuck. Or I think the only person I really spoke to about it was Larry. I might talk to Blazer, Don Blasingame about it. But it kind of went over a couple of three days later. I'm not sure how it would have went down if it was the other way around, me hitting her.
So here's another one I heard, which I didn't discuss. I didn't clear this with you yesterday, but because it was kind of a new story. In Chicago, there's a tradition. I don't know if you know this, Tom, but for the rookies, I guess the night before.
Where'd you get this one from?
I can't tell my sources.
Yeah, this is L.A.
The night before, there's a General Phil Sheridan. Now, we have Phil Sheridan in our clubhouse, right? But it's not that Phil Sheridan.
Yeah,
he might be related. But there's
magic.
A General Phil Sheridan, a big statue. He's on a horse. Outside Wrigley Field, and there was a tradition where they'd make the rookies go out and paint part of the anatomy of the horse, right?
Yes.
But the police were in on it, right? So the police, you know, they were all in on it. So the next day, the police would come into the locker room and basically fake arrest the rookies. So what happened, Wayne, when you were told that you were supposed to be
Well, it was. I'm trying to think. Who was? I think it might have been Scott Rowland. It might have been. I'm not sure. I know Tony Barron. It was Tony and Barron and I were there. They were going after Tony, and you know Tony was like, "Nah, it wasn't me." But I had paint on my hands.
Oh.
And they were like, "No."
Oh. It's like when you rob a bank and the money blows up, and you get the powder on your hands.
You know, and they were like, "You know, I was like, you know, was it you?" I was like. I was like, no.
You're putting your hands in your pocket.
And somebody found out, you know, I still had paint on my hand.
Right.
You know, and the cop, you know, was like, let me see your hands. This big dude. Yeah. He has cuffs out, you know, the whole team is there, and it's just a bad look. And I'm like, let me see your hands. I'm like, you know, my hands.
You paint as a hobby.
Yeah. I was painting right before the game. I paint before every game.
This is in the clubhouse at Wrigley Field.
Yeah. This is,
oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So wait, how did you try to get out of the your punishment?
I think you know, since I had the paint on my hands, I think I said I'll take this one for the team and I'll wear this. So I'm gonna
call Tony
Barron.
Maybe your memory's not so great.
All right.
I heard you handed the Chicago policeman. An FOP get out of jail card from Scranton.
Did you?
He did. You know what? That it's just been a long time, but I think that's close, man. that had to be from LA. I don't know who that came from. I don't know who I told you that.
Does
one.
A Scranton FOP get out of jail card work in
Chicago? hey, I didn't go to jail. So.
Yeah, kept him out.
Man, that does sound right, man. That does sound right. And that does sound like me. You know, like anything, I could get out of, you know, going to jail.
Well, another one. Tom did the music for the Phillies, right? So right before you, because you did it from 91
to 93.
91 to
93, yep.
Yeah, then I took over from that point on for a couple
of
years.
Not going to bring that story in, are you?
What's that? Well, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but to just Wayne gave me a tape. He's going to be closer.
Yeah.
Wayne gave me a tape. Now, this is, again, we would use, I guess we were using
cards,
which is basically 8-track tapes. Or cassette tapes.
There's no way I was here for 8-track. I'm just saying you might have fixed
that.
Well,
no, I know you wouldn't.
No, they look like 8-track.
It looked like 8-track.
Let's clear that up right now. I wasn't that long ago. Wayne gave me an 8-track, you know, right before he gave me the reel-to-reel.
Yeah, the reel-to-reel.
So Wayne gives me a tape, and he said, hey, John, can you play this? Or I guess you call me Snake. Hey, Snake, can you play this, you know, when I come out of the bullpen, right?
Yeah,
so I'm like, sure, no problem, right? So full trust. And then, you know, I said, I remember like in the seventh inning, I said, you know what, if Wayne comes in, let me just check to see maybe there's a good part of the song to cue it up, right? So I get my headsets on. I'm just, you know, I'm the only one who can hear it. And I'm listening to the song. And the song, let's just say there would be, remember the Tupac albums where they'd have stickers on there that say
explicit,
you know, explicit language? Well, yes, there would have been a huge sticker on there.
Did you know that, Wayne? Or you just weren't even thinking?
I didn't think, man.
Nah, you weren't,
you know,
thinking.
Maybe you're dealing with a 25-year-old, man.
Yeah.
You know, who cares about his job?
I'm going to keep mine.
I'm sure you probably, Tom, you probably played something that was, well, like, might have gotten you in trouble.
It was Jimmy Buffett's song. I played that one song that he has, Why Don't We All Get Drunk? And that played, and I didn't know it was out there, and I caught a little bit from that one, like, hey, we can't play that. But then it's gotten, nowadays, John, with lyrics. I mean, you got you got to check every song.
Well, I played Warren Zevon, Excitable Boy, and there's some bad lyrics in that one. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, what a great song. I'll play that one. Right. And next thing you know, I can hear the lyrics going out through the crowd, and I'm like, pull down.
Wait, did you say, is it true? Are you really a DJ?
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
I have a spot on the radio every Friday night.
Do you really?
Red Ink Radio. Every Friday night, 9 o'clock, DJ 61.
Now, that's on like a local FM station. There you go. Nice. Yeah, right.
I got my gold teeth in my bag, too.
Nice. Yeah, what do you wear when you go there? It's in the radio station, or do you go somewhere?
No, well, I do weddings and parties. I did one 4th of July. I'm doing two weddings. I'm doing this kid for the twins. I'm doing his wedding.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nice.
In November. In fact, his wife texted me yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah, so, I do DJ.
So what? So the song, do you remember the song that you gave him back
No.
All right.
What would it have been, though, in 1995? No, it was later than that.
It was probably 99.
Yeah. 99. So, you can't remember who that would have been, huh?
I don't remember what it was. No. All right, I got another one, too. We just had on Kyle Kendrick.
We're talking about my DJing skills, but can we get back,
we want to get back to more funny stories, Wayne. Yeah.
John called everybody he knows to get dirt on you.
It sounds like it, because he's digging them up, man.
Well, I didn't need it, because Wayne, I go back with this guy. So, all right, there's another one.
Do you remember in second grade? You had crushed
this teacher. We just had Kyle Kendrick on, and Kyle Kendrick was a victim of a practical joke where he got traded to Japan. Now, that one was stolen from the time that Larry Anderson set up. I think he was the main perpetrator, right? That set you up for being traded to Japan.
So I hear.
Now, what I remember, right? It was down in the clubhouse, and there was actually a guy who was a Korean. I think he was a Korean writer, but for Sports Illustrated, of Korean descent. Sorry, Sports Illustrated. So Larry Anderson convinced him to pretend he was Japanese, and that he was part of a film crew to talk about the Japanese league, and then it just so happened that Wayne got traded to Japan. Yeah. So then, Wayne, why don't you take over, and then I'll fill in what I know. So, what were you going through when you found out? Who told you you were being traded to Japan?
Bill Dancy.
Who's the manager?
He's our manager. He was our manager. And, I mean, they let this ride for a long time, man. You know, they had a film crew in, and they had the guy who I thought was Japanese. He ended up being Korean.
Right.
You know, which is terrible. I couldn't figure that out. He told me I'd been going to Japan, and the whole team was, you know, hey, man, congratulating me.
And they told you it was going to be Nomo's team, too, right?
Yeah, they told me it was Nomo's team. And then they go, like, hey, man, do you like sushi? And I'm like, man, I don't like no sushi. And
a million things must have gone through your head, right?
Yeah, I was like, man, they've given up on me. And I think I was doing okay. You know, I wasn't lighting the world up. And I was like, yeah, they gave up on me. He's like, no, this is going to be a good thing. Dancy was playing up, but it's going to be a good thing. And, you know, they just really played it up. Oh. And I guess, I mean, this went on for like 30 minutes. And the guy was like, hey, man, we're just messing with you.
Well, hold on. Before that, like, for Kyle Kendrick, everybody on the team knew. They were in on it, like everybody, right? For this one, nobody was in on it except for
L.A.
L.A. and Bill Dancy, right? Yeah. They're the only two but the players didn't
and
know.
The Korean guy.
And the media member. So how about one of your teammates?
Oh, yeah, one of my players. One of Larry Mitchell. Larry Mitchell. I thought he was tearing up.
He cried. He cried. Yeah. He said right? Didn't he want to give him his spikes?
Yeah, yeah. So you're giving away stuff, and, man, hey, man, take this with you.
But he's crying. He's like, Wayne, take my spikes. He's crying.
We actually played together in college. I mean, we played. He went to James Madison. He's still in Virginia. He went to JMU. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's from Charlottesville. So, man, you're bringing him up, man.
They had you on the phone with your mom, and you're trying to pronounce the name of the team, and you butchered it, and you're like, I don't know.
I'm thinking my mom and dad were in on it because they were so nice. And oh, baby, you're gonna like
but
Japan.
They weren't in on it, and so they think you're going to Japan.
Oh baby,
gosh.
You're gonna be fine.
L.A. must have been loving this.
Yeah, I called my mama. I called my mama. Japan, what team? Nomo's team, huh? Oh baby, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna love it. Oh man.
Yeah. All right. So then you obviously had your Major League Baseball career. You went Giants.
You did? Not after all that.
Yeah. Yes, after all that.
Yeah. But derailed it.
But you also ended up local here. Like one of your last professional experiences was with Canton River Sharks, right? And Kevin Jordan was on that team.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a bunch of guys on that team.
Yeah, yeah. KJ, Brian Hunter was
Brian
on the
Hunter,
team.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. That was a hoot.
Well, when you were here too, Wayne, it was the Randy Wolf came up. You were already on the team. And then it was the Wolf Pack. And then everybody had their own
fan groups. He had Gumsy's Homesies.
Gumsy's Homesies, Gumsy, yeah.
Gumsy's Homesies.
I think they were three deep.
A fan group of three.
Yeah, yeah. At least three.
Did you ever meet those guys?
I might have met them. I think Kevin Camisoli.
Kevin did.
Yeah, he kind of spearheaded that group, you know, and kind of took off. It blossomed to three.
Yeah, Padilla's Flotilla.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, Wolfpack.
There wasn't much to cheer for.
Burl's Girls, you know.
I don't remember Burl's Girls, but I'm sure he had them.
Burl's Girls. Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah, they probably came in high heels.
And, you know, another guy who was on that team, and I guess maybe you spent some time with, was Ricky Pitalico. He was coming off a couple big years, and then you were kind of the next guy in line. Was he a maniac down there? Did he help you? Did you learn anything from Ricky?
Ricky, we were fine. We were always good. I think we always had a good relationship. No, I'm not sure. So I don't think he taught me anything.
Nah, nothing.
No. He's not the kind of take you under the wing kind of guy.
Right,
nothing wrong with that. I mean, there were several guys that are like, they are the Larry Andersons and the Ben Riveras of the world. So it's nothing. It's just how you choose to do your business. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
And Tito was your manager.
Correct.
Right? And Tito must have been fun to play with, right? Yeah, I mean, such a laid-back guy.
Yeah, Tito, yeah. He's not that laid. He's not in your face. He's not Boa.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't classify him as laid back. You know, he has a standard, and I would just call him a player's manager. He's easily relatable, you know.
John, another guy, another teammate, because you look up teammates, it's like, you had a little bit of an overlap with Dutch, Darren Dalton.
Really?
Yeah, being a catcher, and now that's a guy who was going to impart his wisdom,
correct,
right? Did you pick his
brain?
Yeah,
he was playing right field.
Yeah, right field.
He was playing right field for
us.
He was kind of on it. He went to go get a ring with the Marlins.
Yeah.
It was a brief moment. I think it was probably because he went to the trading deadline, and I might have got called up in June.
Okay, yeah.
So,
he remember that trying to make Dutch a right fielder.
Mm-hmm. But it worked. And when he went to Florida, because Darren told us at dinner, I guess it was like 5 years ago, he was saying that they brought him over for his leadership. Because at that time, the Marlins, they had, you know, their three, it was Bobby Bonilla, it was Jeff Conine, and it was Sheffield. Mm-hmm. And those are three guys that were kind of tough, grizzled veterans, right? But those three were kind of like the leaders. And Leyland wanted to basically shake things up.
Yep.
And so he started for Sheffield the first game he got traded. And Sheffield was not happy, got in Darren's face. And Darren, as you can imagine,
he's not gonna take
that. Darren just basically stared him down and talked to him. And then next thing you know, he at that point he commanded the clubhouse. And sure enough, they go ahead and win the World Series.
Yep. Dutch was he just had that quiet confidence. You know, he wasn't always in your face, but when he spoke, you listened. You know, for some reason or another, you know, that says a lot of people with a few words. You know, when you don't say much, and people respect you, like when you say something, they're like, okay, what's he got to say now? Because it must be important because he don't say much.
Yeah, well, they said in Florida, he said, oh boy, and this was early on. He said, if you guys want to win. You know, like follow me. And it was follow me, and it was in the trainer's room, just like the environment they set up here at the vet. You know, everybody was in the trainer's room till the wee hours. He developed that kind of atmosphere in Florida, and it bonded them.
I think people like that are born. I really do. You know, I think people like that are born. You know, there's some leaders that are created, but I think Dutch just had that quality.
Yep,
that kind of gravitated.
So when you grew up in Hampton area, Virginia. There's so many great athletes come out of there, Allen Iverson and David Wright. And
you're not getting into your quiz, are you?
No. I'm not going to ruin anything.
Ruin names, what I'm just saying. Okay.
You got two right in the ballpark.
Ryan Zimmerman.
Downstairs. Daniel Hudson's downstairs. I just talked to him an hour ago.
Is that right?
Yeah,
so who do you – I know that Norfolk has a triple A team?
Tidewater.
Of the Mets.
Mets.
That's an easy one. This is my territory here.
Do you become a Mets fan or like when you live down there?
I can name the team, dude.
The Mets?
I can name them.
Really?
All right. Well, it was great having you as a guest, right. Wayne. We're kicking you out.
But you're still not a Mets fan.
This
is the Howard Johnson, Lenny Dykstra teams?
Howard Johnson, Lenny Dykstra, Ray Knight.
Wally Backman.
Wally Backman, Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry,
Mookie. Wilson.
Mookie Wilson. Yep. Keith Hernandez.
Yep.
I mean, we want to keep going?
No, because we don't like the Mets.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Well, they're gone. No, please, don't keep going.
They won't be here next weekend.
Right. Good. Well, good. All right. All right, Wayne, I don't know if you know this.
You got to fire the quiz.
But I do a quiz. Did I tell you this yesterday?
This is – no. The only thing you drilled me on with yesterday was the Cliff Notes of Rubber Stranger.
Yeah.
You've done great so far, Joe.
Thanks, Wayne. So I have 8 questions, right? So we set a fairly low bar. You just got to get 6 out of 8. And
– well, don't say that.
Are you a Fanatic fan? You love the Fanatic. Of course you love the Fanatic.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like the Fanatic?
All right. Exactly. Tom, what are you going to get Wayne? I got him already the Jamie Foxx sunglasses. What are you getting Wayne if you get 6 out of 8?
Let's see. For Wayne, we'll get you, how about a kid's book?
Well, it's not much pressure here.
A Philly Fanatic kid's book.
Okay. We'll get you. Yeah.
We'll get the Fanatic to
we'll
sign
send you
it.
A care package,
I've
Wayne.
Got a 19 and 20-year-old, so that kid's book should come right handy.
There you go. All right, you ready? It's multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
All right. So that's good. All right, you went to Phoebus High School, correct, mm-hmm. in Hampton, Virginia.
I went to Phoebus, yes, correct.
Phoebus.
That's one.
Phoebus. Which of these celebrities did not go to Phoebus? So I'm going to name 4 people, right? You're not one of them. I'm going to name 4 people. One of them did not go to Phoebus High School, okay?
That's
you got to tell me which one.
It's a layup.
So I got Taj Boyd, right, who was the former quarterback at Clemson, mm-hmm. right? You got Match Game 76 celebrity Gene Rayburn. You got... Margot Lee Shetterly, who's a nonfiction writer. Not sure what she wrote about.
Oh, Joe, I can tell you. She hit the figures, man. Come on now.
And you have former UVA running back Antoine
Womack.
That's
Phoebus B, man. B. I don't know who that person is. Everybody in Phoebus knows who they are.
All right. And then or former UVA running back Antoine Womack, who I used
definitely
to.
Definitely a phantom.
All right. So which one wasn't?
B.
Yeah, he is correct.
Match Game 76, Gene Rayburn. I always throw somebody. You probably don't. You're too young to remember Match Game 76.
Yeah.
But I always throw people like Soupy
Hidden
Sales.
Hidden Figures, man. It was a great movie.
She wrote that?
She wrote it.
Oh, Hidden Figures?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great movie.
That was a great movie.
She graduated in 85. She graduated in 86, and her brother, Benley, graduated in 88. All he was our class president.
Oh, how about that?
All right, you are one for one.
Yeah.
All right, how about this one?
Talk Phoebus history all day, man.
All right, well, now we're going to go into Old Dominion history. So you went to Old Dominion University, as we mentioned. Which of these celebrities did not go to Old Dominion?
Now, were they in my major? These people?
No.
They weren't?
No.
They weren't leisure majors?
They might have been older, might have been younger.
They wore leisure suits. But.
Yeah, well, the first one definitely did. Comedian Rodney Dangerfield, basketball player Nancy Lieberman, pitcher Justin Verlander, and Ben Bailey, who's host of Cash Cab. Which one of those did not go to Old Dominion?
Did Verlander go to ODU?
Rodney Dangerfield, Nancy Lieberman, Justin Verlander, or the host of Cash Cab, Ben Bailey?
Verlander. I've heard of that kid. I'm going to go A.
Rodney Dangerfield? Hey, no respect. Yes, you got it.
Correct.
You're 2 for 2. All right.
What kind of book is this? Because I feel like I'm on my way.
Yeah, he's on his way right here.
We'll get him. We'll find one.
Your first team in the minor leagues, and I always butcher one of these questions. This could be the one I butcher. I think your first team in the minor leagues was the Batavia Clippers.
That's right.
In 1993. All right, got it right?
My second pro game, I got into a bench clearing brawl.
Is that right?
Oh, that's a great story. I'm surprised you even dug that one out.
How'd that go down?
Yeah, why don't you tell us right in the middle of the question?
You want to answer the rest of these six?
No, I want
to hear this.
I'll give you the multiple choice after you tell us the story.
Second game.
All right. Yeah, I was a little tough guy coming out of college and didn't have the greatest control. So one goes over his head, right? Well, he gives me this whole stare down, and that was completely by accident. I don't even know this kid. One goes over his head, and he gives me a stare down like, no. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, that's what we're doing here. So the next one was on purpose. You know, I threw the next one directly at him, and he charges me. he's not the biggest guy in the world.
Right.
Did
he have the bat in his hand?
He did not. He did not. That would have changed it.
That would change it.
So I met him halfway, and we're going, right? So it all ended. You know, I'm sure we both got ejected, and I think I got the best of him that day. Yeah, I mean –
second game.
My second game.
All right.
Fast forward to about 3 years, I'm in AA or AAA. I think AA, right? This guy shows up in a cage, right? He's on the other team. He's on the other team, right? And he remembered me. But here's the thing. What had happened to him about 8 months prior to that, he went into a drinking binge.
Uh-oh.
Okay? And couldn't remember, he went to a coma.
Hmm.
Couldn't remember anything, not his wife, but he remembered me.
Hmm.
Wow.
He came back a better player.
Okay.
How about that?
Came back a better player and remembered me. like, didn't remember it. Didn't, I mean, he went into a coma for like 8 months, came out and was like this stud player.
Huh.
And couldn't remember. I can't believe you don't know that. It's not your card. No cards. No.
And then did you throw at him again?
No, we were right.
No. Yeah, right. Where's the story? Did you beat him? Yeah.
Yeah, he remembered me. Come on. That's the punchline. He remembered me.
All right. So of the Batavia Clippers in 1993, which of these guys was not a teammate? Okay. Was not a teammate. All right. Kevin Sefcik, Tony Fiore, Silvio Sensali, or Bob Tonin?
Bob Tonin.
Yeah, Bob Tonin's our computer guy downstairs.
Is he? IT.
Yeah, he's our IT.
Yeah, I remember playing with Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you're 3 for 3, Wayne. You're on a roll. All right, your last season was with the Cameron River Sharks. We mentioned that in 2005. Which one of these guys was not a teammate? Okay. Steven Drew, Kevin Jordan, Paul David Hewson, or Brian Hunter?
Paul David Hewson.
You know who that is?
No.
That's Bono. That's Bono's real name. So Bono is not your teammate.
He didn't play for Camden?
No, he didn't play for Camden. All right.
You're marking this down, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm
keeping
score. All right.
All right. In 5, in 1999, how many saves did you have? Did you have 19, 25, 12, or 15?
19, 25, 12, or 15?
Yes.
Well, as you get away from the game, it is historically – that you get better.
Right.
So I know the answer, but how many do I have right already?
You're four for four.
I'm going to say 25.
Yeah, yeah, you can waste one.
Yeah. You're wasting one on purpose?
Yep.
You wasted. Why are you wasting one on purpose?
Because I want to say 25.
Yeah, yeah. He likes to think he had 25.
I'm 4 for 5, and I'll take it.
All right. You're,
and my 25 saves.
All right, you threw yourself on the bus. All right. In 2004, you played winter ball in Venezuela for Leones del Caracas, right? Mm-hmm. Which one of these players?
No, it was Caracas Leones. It's the Leon Caracas Lions.
Well, the way it's spelled, at least on the internet, is Leones del Caracas. So well,
the internet's it's
Bobby Abreu's team.
All right, one of these players was not on that team? Bobby Abreu, Tomas Perez, Nicholas Reyes, or Marco Scudero?
Scoot was there. Bobby was there.
So it's down to Tomas Perez or Nicholas Reyes.
Tomas was there. So
Nicholas Reyes?
Yeah.
You are correct, and he's the lead singer of the Gypsy Kings.
Okay.
Yeah, right. From the south of France. So you got that
these
going.
These questions are getting tougher. I'm going to have to Google them.
I know. Well, now you've got two more.
All you
got
to do is
get
two
more questions, and these could be a little tougher.
The last one was tricky because you actually threw kind of like a Spanish name in there.
I did. See that?
So.
Do you like the Gypsy Kings, by the way? Do you know who the Gypsy Kings are?
Do they play on my team in Caracas?
And do you like flamenco type, you know? All right. What is the Fanatics mom's name? Okay, what is the Fanatics mom's name? Is it, all these are spelled with PH, by the way, right? Because the Fanatic PH. Is it Fiona? Is it Francis? Is it Philomena? Or is it Phoebe?
It's Philomena.
I would be in,
not
correct.
Not Philomena. You're leaving yourself on a little high wire because you went for 25 saves.
You said my bar is, what's the low bar here?
6 out of 8. So you got to get this one right.
Who got that? Who got the 6 out of 8? Manny Trio, and you couldn't understand what you were saying.
Manny did pretty well.
Yeah, Manny did well.
I gave him a couple because I butchered him. If I butcher him, then I give it.
Yeah, we've had a couple guys go 8 for 8.
Is this going to backfire on me because I gave one away?
Well,
maybe.
We're
going to
see right now.
We'll see how well you know Japan, right?
The last one.
So as I mentioned, you were almost traded to Japan, right?
Mm-hmm. I got time to Google this. What's my
No Google.
No Google.
Put the phone down.
Tokyo is the largest city in the world. I don't know if you knew that, but Tokyo, right now, the Olympics going on. It's the largest city population-wise in the world. What is the population of Tokyo? This was estimated in 2020. Okay, is it 37.28 million? Is it 25.97 million? I'll even give you a lifeline here. 30.25 million or 21.67? So you have 37.28, 25.97, 30.25, 21.67. You can use Burgoyne as a lifeline. 37, 25, 30, or 21?
You're on your own here, pal. And he's picked up phone.
Are you using Siri as a lifeline?
Yeah, this is my lifeline. I'm using my extra.
Listen, when I took the SAT, it was always, when in doubt, go with C.
Yeah, I don't know if that's smart.
No?
Yeah, I don't accept that anymore.
The highest number was 37.
I'm going to eliminate C, so it's either 37, 25, or 21 million.
Why is 25 ringing the bell? But I would go with the highest number, 37. Well,
first of all,
it's all you,
he's
Wayne.
Terrible in geography. Don't even go anywhere near the Fanatic.
Don't even tell
I won't
that
even
story
tell
again.
Several
Thank
stories. What do you got?
I'm just going to throw it out there. And what's my choices?
37.28. What did we? 25.97. We eliminated 30.25 or 21.67. 37, 25, or 21. What do you got?
What's Google say?
What is Google?
It says 14.
14? It's not 14. All right. Yeah, it's a bad lifeline right
did
there.
Did 6 million people die in between now and 2020?
Right, I'll give it to you, okay? Only because it's taking too long. But I'm giving it. It's 37.28
million
people.
And that's
what people.
I said. I said, yes. Let's go with the highest one.
The highest one. There you have it.
No book for you, Wayne.
Ooh. Yeah. You get a pair of sunglasses out.
Yeah, you got the sunglasses already.
I call sunglasses. Oh, you know what? I didn't finish. It is 38. Yeah. 37 million.
There it is.
Yeah. Actually, it's 37.28.
Well, they grew. Well, so all those
the,
people.
I should. That should be watched.
All those people at the Olympics just kind of raise it up a little bit.
No.
Yeah. Wayne, you did good. We'll get you the book.
We'll get you the book.
And it's great to have you back, man. It's really good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Happy.
And now that your kid's here and your short drive away, we'll see you a lot here at the Phillies games.
Yeah, man.
He's on his way up. He's working his way up the ladder, you know, GM maybe. That's the last rung.
My son?
Yeah.
You know what, man? I would never count him out, man.
Nice.
Because, you know, his first year of college wasn't the greatest. And I was like, man, this kid's going to never leave this house. You know, he's going to be 30 years old with his name on his orange juice. And he's really surprised me.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
Every year he's just gotten more mature and just kind of figure out what works for him. And he just surprised me, you know. And, you know, my wife and I, we also have a 19-year-old daughter. But things have come a lot easier to her. She's just always been on time and always been just right on point. You know, we've never had to check her grades. And with Miles, academics has always been a little more of a struggle. But he's found his way, man. The kid is you know, we're driving around. He's like, man, I want to go to grad school here. All right, I'm thinking to myself, hey, let's slow your roll, buddy. You know, let's get undergrad first. And he was like, you know, if I don't get in the pen, you know, I won't be able to get my PhD. And I'm like, PhD?
Wow, he really.
You know, my wife's got a doctorate. You know, my wife's got a doctorate, and she got her postdoctorate from University of Penn, so she got some ties over there too. So.
It takes boys a little longer, I think. Yeah.
I kept hearing that, and I was like, are you talking like 6 months, or are you talking about 14 years?
Right, exactly.
Where are we a little longer? So he was right in the middle.
Well, I think we need to hire Wayne at some point to a Phillies function to be the Phillies DJ for a day.
Oh, for sure.
That's what we should do. That.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We're going to talk. We're going to talk to some people in charge here.
Diamond Cuts don't have nothing on me.
you just got to
– heard Diamond Cuts, right?
What's that?
You heard Diamond Cuts?
No.
She's the local DJ.
She's
hot. She is smoked. She's good.
She's good, huh?
She's really, really. She's. I kind of.
Why are you telling about her? Well, because why wouldn't we hire her instead of you?
She can't afford her.
Listen, we got John Joaquin.
She'll be the
four
of me.
Now.
Trust me, I'm not even close to half.
John Joaquin is our DJ, you know, at the ball games, and he's killing it. So it's all good.
I think there could be an appearance by Wayne Gomes.
Yeah.
What's your DJ name?
I told you.
Oh, what is it?
DJ 61.
Oh, 61. Right.
All right. Red Ink Radio, 9 o'clock on Friday nights.
All right.
Tune in, folks.
Red Ink Radio. You just download it. You know, on your phone, and it'll be right there.
All right. We're all over it.
You have dial up, internet, whatever you have, you know what I'm saying? Or you got a tape player or a cassette.
A-track.
You know, A-track, reel-to-reel. Whatever you got. You know?
One of those things you have to crank manually. Yeah, that's right. All right, Wayne, thanks for being with us.
Thanks,
you're
Wayne.
Welcome.
John, it's been another fun rendition of Phillies Backstage, and we'll have to do it again. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next time on Backstage with Burgoyne and Brasch.